Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome back to your favourite weekly podcast. That's right, it's Fergie time. The Daily Record podcast, myself, Keith Jackson, and the man himself, Barry Ferguson. Barry, it's been an interesting week. It could have been a really bad one for a bit last night at Hampden Park. It looked as if Stevie Clark's week was about to get worse than Prince Andrew's. But we come back. He got a decent result. It's three wins out of three. That's good. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about our hopes for where this is leading to, and our worries. We look forward, of course, to the return of domestic football, and I think all the fans out there are desperate for the return of domestic football, because right now the international break just seems to be getting in the road. Mm-hmm. And we'll look to the situation with Jack Ross, who'll have his first game as Hibs manager this weekend, and where Hearts are going under Ann Budge, with Oss McPhee looking like he's still going to be hanging around that dugout for a while. We'll do all of that, but Barry, let's first of all go back to last night. I know you had a game yourself with Kelty. Mm-hmm. Decent result?
Yeah, it was good. It was cold, freezing cold in fact, rainy. But look, good result against Berwick Rangers, 4-0.
You're actually starting to get a good bit of momentum built there, aren't you?
Yeah, but we are. It's the boys, look, I put a lot of demands on the boys, but the boys are coming up with the answers.
Enjoying this?
I'm enjoying it. Listen, I'm not getting overconfident. I say that to the boys. Listen, my teams are built on first and foremost hard work, and I say that to them. I've got a lot of good players ability wise, but you've got to earn the right to win games. I'm a big believer in that, and you've got to work whoever you're playing against individually and collectively, and we're doing that now, and we'll not get carried away. Gave them a few days off because we've not got a game at the weekend, so I've gave them Thursday off, and then we'll be back in on Saturday because we've got a wee bit of illness flying about the dressing room as well.
I can hear it in your voice.
Yep. So it was, look, there was two or three that were struggling last night, but that's the kind of mentality they've got. No, look, gaffer, I want to play, I'll get through it. As long as we're getting Thursday off, that's what it says.
So, what about yourself? Are you growing into this? Because obviously you had,
I grew into it, straight
thrown into it.
Aye, but I grew into it after a month. I think I've spoke to you off mic about it when I went into the job.
No, but I'm talking about you get thrown into management very early on.
Aye.
Do you feel better prepared now? Because you've gone a very long route to try and...
Miles better prepared in terms of when you come straight out of playing, straight into management, it was probably the wrong decision that I done. But listen, that opportunity came out the blue when I decided to retire at Blackpool. Paul Lynch obviously gets sacked.
The chairman, and the club was in crisis and they turned to you.
Yep, and obviously nobody else was wanting the job, so I was retiring anyway at the end of the season. I still had 5 months left my contract. I decided, because my ankle was knackered, that was the fifth operation I had on it. The surgeon told me, look, if you want to continue to play fives or seven a-sides with your mates, I'd be able to kick a ball, but with your kids, your time needs to be coming to an end. So I was coming up in 37 anyway, so it was a good innings.
How does that feel, by the way, when somebody tells you might not be able to play properly with your kids unless you...
Well, no, that I was fine. He says, look, if you go and play again, I was fit enough to go and play, I could have probably went on another couple of years. Mm-hmm. In terms of my body shape, more that was always good. My weight was always good, so... Sometimes it's better coming for a specialist where he never sat me down and says, look, you'll never walk again. It was just like, listen, you're going to have issues if you continue to play.
Makes it easier, makes the decision easier.
So the decision was easy. I had 5 months left my contract and I was like, right, time's up. I was in the stages of I finished my A licence, just going on to my pro licence. And then that opportunity arose and I jumped into it. Was it a right decision? Probably if I look back. No, it wasn't. Probably you're better going.
I don't know, did it not? It worked out all right for you, didn't it?
Look, the stats weren't great, but I kept them up.
Yeah.
Because we were struggling at the time. It was horrible. The atmosphere around about the place wasn't great. And it was just trying to get a decent spirit about them. Was it great to watch? No. But did we get enough points to stay up? We did. And that was the main thing.
See, the reason I'm asking about all this is there's jobs coming up left, right and centre at the minute, obviously.
Yep.
You know, you've the Hearts and Hibs situation, even like Falkirk job comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And after everything you've achieved in football and the name you've got in football, people might expect for your name to be linked, that your name might trade your way into a job at that level. Mm-hmm. But you've gone a different road completely. I mean, you've gone so far down the way in terms of the level that you're managing at. It's almost as if you're going to have to really achieve something at that level before you will come into consideration. Does that annoy you? Do you think it was a mistake?
No, I've listened to quite a lot of managers and I agree with them. Experienced managers. Now, if you look at a lot of young ones that go and get a job, not a lot of them continue to stay at that level. I think it's like being a young footballer, you've got to do an apprentice. The last 3 or 4 months at Clyde was a nightmare for myself in terms of results. Just wasn't good enough. I've been missing players through injury, long-term injury, short-term injury. So that never ended well. So I took, as I said, I took 12 to 15 months out and I felt I had to go back into something that was going to be good for me in terms of you've got a decent board that are going to let you go and do a lot of things in terms of bring your own players in. And that's what's happened at Kelty. We're not the finished article, but things are going well. Mm-hmm.
What do you think you're going to have to achieve with
Kelty? I've got to win things.
So you're going to have to get promotion into the SPFL.
I've got to be competing at the top right to the very end. That's why I brought this group of players together.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I worked my backside off probably the start of December last year to do my recruitment. I mean, I've said to you plenty of times in the column, the biggest thing for me at a club's recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
I knew right away, no disrespect to the boys that were in there, but if Kelty were going to be challenging at the top of the league to get promoted to the SPFL, we had to make a hell of a lot of changes.
See, the other thing is a lot of people would look and say, right, hold on, guys played for Rangers, won leagues, captain Scotland, done everything that you could possibly really hope to achieve, played in the Premier League, won a League Cup at Wembley, everything that you could realistically have ever hoped to achieve as a player in football, you've done it. So a lot of people say, well, why are you driving through to Kelty Hearts on a Tuesday night?
Because I love football. That honestly, I love football.
But there's nothing in it for you.
No, it's financially, there's not a lot in it for me. But
what I'm getting at is then there must be an ambition.
There's a burning ambition inside me. If you drive across the Kelty now, a couple of the boys for here have been through. It's not a 10,000 seater stadium, but I tell you what, it's a great facility. There's a good committee there. There's a general manager who has got my back. If I want to go and improve it, he'll go and try his best to get me whoever I want. And I've got a good group of boys now. Now our next objective is to go and win something. Now I think we've got a good chance, but I've got to be respectful. We've got good teams in the league. You probably see there's quite a lot of players for SPFL 1 and 2 drop down into the league, so it's a real challenge. But see that drive for an hour and 10 minutes down to training and an hour and 10 minutes back, that's my thinking time, that's my own me time in the car. I enjoy it. And if I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't do it.
Oh, clearly you're enjoying it. Need to do it.
It's given me the spark and it's the boys. See, you can say everything about, as I mentioned, the general manager, who's a big, big help to me. But it's the boys that make me want to come through. They're an unbelievable group to work with. Now, sometimes you must be going to bed at night, you think, things ringing in their ear with me on at them constantly. But I do it because I think I've got a group that can go and achieve things.
But there's obviously still a passion. There's an itch that needs to get scratched here. Otherwise, you just go away and live a happy life, go on holidays, do stuff, spend time with the family. You've obviously got a career path in your own mind.
Yeah, but I've got the blinkers on in terms of I know what I need to achieve here first. Now, do I think I can go and work at a high level? No problem. Did I think that 2 years ago? No, I didn't. That's why I had to take a bit of time out. I went and watched a lot of football, spoke to a few different people. You know, I've spoke to you on the phone about this. And I've got a different way of managing now.
Better. Improved.
Aye, I've still got that fiery bit where sometimes maybe I cross the line. But that's me. I want to win. And I want that to rub off in my players. And that is rubbing off in the players. But we've still got a bit to go, because I've got to be respectful. There is still good teams in our league, some really good players, and there's good managers as well. Because if you look at a lonely, I think there's quite a few managers in that lonely league that could easily manage higher above. But when a job comes up, it's not just 3 and 4 managers that are going for it.
Oh, it's
30, 40, 50 yeah. managers. I've not applied.
Do you think there's an element of snobbery about it? Do you think that you've kind of taken yourself out a certain bracket?
Maybe people.
Because
I think it's the way I'm at. Yep.
In terms of not that you're managing at Celtic Hearts, but because you're a bit of a firebrand that you might be difficult to handle?
No, I'm just not a yes man.
A lot of them going about in football.
Yeah, I think if you're a manager, it's your decision on who you sign. And if results don't go right on a Saturday, there's only one person you can blame. That's yourself. That's the way I think management should be.
It has to be, because it's your neck that's in the block.
It's got to be. It's got
but
to
it's
be.
An old school sort of way of looking at it as well, isn't it?
But maybe I'm too old school. But look, I'm enjoying it when I'm... You can see it. I love getting through, as I said. I love the challenges, because there is a bit of pressure through there. And my boys realise that. And it's handling the pressures. And I can only give them the experiences that I've went through. And it's took some of them a bit of time to get into that. But they're now realising what we need to achieve this year. And we need to try and achieve promotion. It's going to be difficult. But we've got a good chance. But so we've got a real good chance. But so have 3 or 4 other teams.
I'm saying it'd be a right decent feather in your cap. For a young manager to make that, that would be the first big box tick, wouldn't it, if you could achieve that?
And a bit of silverware, and that's what you've got to try and do as a manager. But I say to the players, there's no better feeling when you've got a medal running about your neck, when you're lifting a trophy and drinking champagne out of a trophy. No, there's no. It's that's what you play football for.
That's the whole point.
So that's what I played football for, to try and win things and take my medals back and show my family them, and I want my boys to be the same. And now on the management side, I've not won anything. I've only won player of the month manager. I think 2 or 3 manager of the months. That's alright, but it's nothing.
It's not a trophy.
No. So I need to try and...
So anyway, that's the whole point. Well, I was going to say the rest of the country was watching Scotland last night. You were in charge of your match.
Yep.
Actually,
I came back in and watched the highlights.
Truth of the matter is, the rest of the country, wasn't he?
I seen that. I came in, made myself a bit of toast and tea, and the highlights were on Sky at 12 o'clock last night, half an hour. Read a wee few comments on the game, and the thing that jumped out at me was 19,500 people there.
Yeah. I actually think that's not a bad crowd, given the circumstances. I thought it could have been lower than that. I'm surprised there's 19. In fact, I'd go as far as to say, I think there's 19,500 people turned up there last night just to make sure that that was the last game of that group, to make sure that it was gone.
I know, but it's a new manager, but he's went and got a result. And people can, again, the way I looked at it against Cyprus, it's only Cyprus. It's a win. Was it great? No, it wasn't. It's a win, but was last night the first half? Wasn't it great? Second half was better. I've never seen the full 90 minutes.
First half was terrible.
Right, but they've won 2 wins. That's a team that battered Scotland 4-0.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at it, and where I'm actually, and look, I'm going to temper everything, right? Because I don't think anybody should be sitting here going, ah, that's it, we're on our way.
No, but that...
Because we're not. We're a million miles away from being on our way.
I get that. It's a start,
Jacko. There is reason for cautious optimism. Mm-hmm. There is, in my view, signs of reasonable improvement. And I'm starting to see what he's doing. Mm-hmm. My worry was that he had this block of months to try and get a team together. Mm-hmm. Work out who his best 11 is, work out his strategy, work out his tactics, and get it ready for the playoffs. And up until these last three games, there's been precious little evidence that
can he work out?
Now you can. Now you start.
He can't work out his best 11 because people are pulling out now.
Aye, but I'm not sure that you add too many in. Of course, you add Robertson and Kieran Tierney in.
Yep.
McTominay would. I'm not sure McTominay gets in front of Ryan Jack. It's a 50-50 call.
I'm waiting for that. I'm with you.
He's been playing James Forrest on the left-hand side. I don't like it because James Forrest is far more productive on the right-hand side. But I'm actually starting to think he's doing that because he sees Ryan Fraser playing that position in his first 11. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's a great idea because I would hang my hat in James Forrest, and Scotland haven't been able to do that in Ryan Fraser. But if that's the manager's, if that's the system that he's working towards, I can see the logic in it. I can see the team starting to come together, and that is, albeit mildly encouraging.
Yeah, in his time, Jacko, he's got 10 days to work with these players. So he had the last bit, then he had this block. I'm sure they'll meet up before March.
Don't think they are.
Well, I'm sure Stevie Clark would like them. He'd need to try.
Spoke to him about it the other day. He said, is it going to be possible? And he said, well, the players are just spread so far now. Mm-hmm. From this league up here, to the Premier League, to the Championship, to League One in England, Spain. He said it's almost going to be impossible to get a get-together. It's not going to happen.
But I'll go back to, I think in time he will be the right guy. I think he'll get us into a system that he'll get results.
Can you see it?
I can see early signs.
With McGinn, for example. McGinn started off playing as a deep line centre midfield for
can
us.
Can I just say something about McGinn? When he was at Hibs, I looked and I thought, he's good, he's got some. See now that boy, he's the main player for Scotland.
Yes.
Number 10 last night, bombing, got the goal in Cyprus, got two, albeit it was a deflection, but you still got to have a pop and goal for the free kick. McGinn, he's coming on leaps and bounds. I talk about other players that you say about James Forrest and about Ryan Christie's and Ryan Jack's and Andy Robertson's, Kieran Tierney's. He could be the main man for Scotland.
We've been crying out for Wee Stratton used to say about it. We need a Gareth Bale. We need a guy that once you go into match day situation.
He's not a Gareth Bale.
No, I'm not saying in terms of the way he plays the game. I'm talking about in terms of he'll produce a moment when you're up against it, when you need something. Gareth Bale does it for Wales. Mm-hmm. John McGinn is starting to emerge as the guy that, you know what, when
but the good thing about John McGinn, he's playing at the highest level now every single week. He's coming up against quality players.
His confidence is right up.
And he's matching these players. And see, when you believe in yourself that you can match these players, his game's going to come on and on and on. I've watched him for Aston Villa. He's Aston Villa's main man. He's running the show.
Yeah, I'm in Grealish.
I think it was correct me if I'm wrong here. I think it was Tottenham. Don't know if it was. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I need to think back. And he totally bossed it. Mm-hmm. He bossed it start to finish. And Grealish was good. McGinn was head and shoulders above him.
Yeah.
It's just, I was talking to my son this morning when I got up, and I said, did you watch the full Scotland-Kazakhstan game? He says, aye. I says, what did you think? Just to get his opinion. Mm-hmm. He loves football. I says, who was the main man? He says, oh, McGinn, star man.
Yeah.
He says, Dad, I couldn't believe how good he's become.
Do you know what's really interesting? And this is where I think, that's what I'm talking about, when I start to see now what Steve Clark's trying to do. When he first came in, John McGinn was playing as your position.
Deep line midfield.
Deep line centre midfield player, and he kept losing the ball. Mm-hmm. He kept taking chances. He didn't look very comfortable there. Mm-hmm. And what seems to have happened here is Clark said, look, do you know what? Let's get you out of that area.
I think he's got too much
you might give
energy.
The ball away in there.
Too much energy.
Let's get up the park. Right. He's playing 40 yards further up the park than he did.
Yep.
He's playing as a second striker, pretty much, sometimes as the first striker.
His second goal's a prime example.
Aye. So
late run into the box.
So we credit Clark for that as well.
Yeah, you've got to give the manager credit for that. I mean, see where you're coming for, deep line midfielder, does it suit him? No, I don't. Seen that Roman role, whether you say he's a number 8 or a number 10, suits him down to a T for me. He's a strong physical runner.
Press all day long.
Yeah, he'll go and he'll harry and he'll be an absolute pet. He's one of the players you'd hate to play against.
See,
you'd hate to play against. And I think we've got the ready-made number 6 in that team. You've got Ryan Jack.
You take him over McTominay?
I'm with you, it could be 50-50. Yeah. McTominay's playing at Man United, don't forget.
Not a bad achievement.
It's a big club. Ryan Jack's playing at Rangers. Mm-hmm. That's a big club. That's pressures itself. So Ryan Jack done well in the two games. I think he's, again, we've spoke about Ryan Jack. I think he's come on big time as well. That, and then don't forget Callum McGregor. Good football player, Callum McGregor.
Born to play international football.
He's just Callum McGregor's just a good footballer. That's what. He's a proper. Yeah. I call him a proper football player. Yeah. So we're real strong in there. Real strong, and I like to look at that mix, that three.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to be respectful with McTominay.
Yeah, of course.
He's playing at Man United. That's a club where you're under pressure. You're playing in front of 80,000. They're not having a great time.
There's not much.
To be fair to him, he's the one that's stuck his neck out. Scored a few goals. Do you know what? Fair play to the kid.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at it, right, and this is an interesting bit for me. You look around world football, and your number 10s are the skillful guys, the guys that can create, the guys that can spot a pass that nobody else can, that can do what Ryan Christie did in Cyprus with the shot for the edge of the box. That's the continental version. Have we got a Scottish? Is this John McGinn, Scotland's version of that? He's just going to press like anything and run like anything,
John
and
McGinn,
be a pest like anything and score. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from...
It's weird how you say this. I play similar at my club.
You what?
I've got a couple of technical players, but I play them on each side of the...
The guy in the middle.
Who's a strong runner, who makes runs beyond constantly, who doesn't stop throughout the game. And that's what John McGinn will give. Plus, don't forget, he's got qualities as well.
Of course he has.
He's not going to go and dictate a play and spread the ball constantly. And
I'm not saying that because a lot of people would look at Ryan Christie and say, that's the boy that should be playing number 10.
I think that's where you've got to give the manager credit.
So do I.
I'm with you on that. It's one of the ones where people probably would expect Ryan Christie to be in
that's
that number 10.
That's the obvious
10.
Thing to do.
Aye, but Ryan Christie plays him the right-hand side where he's going to come inside on his left foot. And some of his reverse passes.
Some of the passing last night was great.
Some of like that cut inside where Palmer can overlap him, that's giving Palmer the space. That's the manager thinking, right, do you know what? This is what I want. That's the way we want to play. And you've got Ryan Christie tucking inside, coming in the wee reverse passes. Some of them were lovely. That's just a good football brain as well. So, do you know what? I think you've got to look at the positives. And there was a lot of positives in the second half. And the biggest positive for me was you come off at half-time 1-0 down, the fans are no happy.
They could have struggled to come back.
They show a major reaction. For that whistle, for I watched the highlights, the 100% energy.
Change of attitude.
Aye. So you've got to give them credit.
You've got to ask why that wasn't there in the first half, but...
But that's Stevie Clark's went in. He's obviously called a few out. The players maybe have had a wee chat with each other. Mm-hmm. What's going on here? This is not good enough. Right, the only way you can sort it is get a reaction. First, take a kick off, bang at them. Don't give them a minute's peace. That's what Scotland done last night. They were like rats up a drainpipe. They were made it uncomfy for them, and I think that's Scotland in a nutshell.
That's what we have to be.
Oh,
and maybe that's why our number 10 has to be a Kyle McGinn, because let's not try and take the world on the way they play football.
You've got the more technical boys and James Forrest and Ryan Christie on the sides.
Mm-hmm. I think as well, and we're talking about encouraging signs, look, we will examine the back four because I think that's a major concern for us. But dealing with the positives, one of the things that I've found most heartening was that Steve Clarke didn't mess about. He assessed his centre-forwards and realised Stephen Naismith might be 33, he might be have a couple of dodgy hamstrings and hips and knees and all the rest of it. He might hardly have kicked a ball all season, but the moment I get this guy fit, or anywhere near fit, he's got to lead my line. I really like that, because for me it's an assessment that Gordon Strachan made as well. If you've got guys that have played Champions League, Premier League level, then you hang your hat on these guys. Mm-hmm. And I watched what Naismith provides that team, the way that he wins free kicks, brings his 30, 40 yards up the pitch, links up with players, brings his teammates into play. That wasn't happening with any of the other guys, apart from Stephen Fletcher could do it for us. Doesn't seem remotely interested in doing it anymore. Naismith's the guy, he's the fulcrum for us. Without him, you've got Ollie McBurney in there and the ball's bouncing back, and you're not bringing in James Forrest, or McGinn's not getting beyond.
See, the next 3.5 months, Stevie Clarke will be keeping his fingers crossed that he's fit.
100%.
I thought when a fit Nasey has got to play number 9 for Scotland. It's simple.
I completely agree with that, and that's why I'm so encouraged. That's why I think
I like
there are signs here.
It's not just all the qualities that you mentioned there about how he can hold the ball up, how he can take defenders into areas they don't want it to go, he can score a goal, he's good in the air. The biggest thing for me is he's a proper leader.
Mm-hmm.
You see him when a player maybe made a mistake,
yep,
encouraging, making sure they're at it.
A big after personality first, around the squad.
After McGinn scores that free kick, they're all in it together, and you can see Nasey running back, talking to right, come on, we need to send it to the defenders, make sure it's solid, make sure we keep it stoom at the back. That's what also he brings a whole load of things.
Was he always like that?
No, you could see that when he came in for Kilmarnock as a young boy.
He always had these qualities.
Aye. Yep.
I think when you get a wee bit older and more experienced,
you bother
more about your teammates rather than just your own game.
No, but you could see it early in him that what type of character. Very, very two different characters. Aye. Off the pitch and on the pitch.
Really placid, nice guy off the pitch and an absolute.
Couldn't meet a nicer guy.
Aye.
On the pitch.
Menace.
Oh my God, man. Not just as bad as me at morning, but no, he was up there. But I loved that in him.
Aye.
I loved that. Even in training. 5-a-sides, 7-a-sides. Somebody when they square him the ball, he was moaning. But do you know what? It was forgot about it after 10 seconds. He was away, harrying back, chasing, trying to get the ball. I just think he's got a lot of qualities, Stevie Naismith. And a fit Stevie Naismith makes a major difference to the Scottish national team.
I think if your centre forward can pull it all together, and you need to have the qualities.
I think the ball came in, his first touch to get in the corner, mm-hmm, the boy,
yeah,
and then he's kind of, I think somebody was coming across him, he wasn't sure. Just that first touch, just a bit of rustiness with the finish.
Yeah.
But look, he doesn't care, see when the ball's up near, he doesn't care if the two centre-halves are 6 foot four and the goalkeeper's 7 foot.
He'll got him trying, won't
he? He wasn't bothering.
Well, I think he
was. And then McGinn's also in there, rumbling up the keeper.
Mm-hmm.
And Nasey's another thing, see in there. He's a real problem there,
mm-hmm,
Nasey, for his size. 5'9", 5'10", he can leap. But he brings a hell of a lot of qualities. It's not just how good he is on the ball, his awareness, his the way he can bring people into the game, his movement's really clever, his work rate's phenomenal.
And he'll lead the press right from the start. So what, this again, right, I'm just coming back to what trying to decipher here, and what I think is right is that you put that down as a major tick in Clarke's box, that he's identified all that he didn't need to mess about, he didn't need to wait. And the other thing is, he could have said, and I'm sure Hearts would have been hoping for him to leave Naismith out of that team last night, given that he's,
well, I think Hearts maybe looked at it in another way, that like Nasey's experienced enough to say, look, I'm fit to go, so I'm sure there wouldn't have been a problem for Hearts that he's played there. I think Hearts will actually be happy.
Yeah.
Aye.
Do you think Aston Villa would have been happy? But McGinn playing? Do you think Celtic would have been delighted about? Because it was the same starting 11.
Aye. Right, but the way they look after their bodies now, they'll be going back to their clubs, they'll have a day off a day probably. The more they'll do a recovery, massage, and ready to go on Friday.
I don't think they've been happy about it, because that's the way the club's put themselves before the country at all points, and you can understand that they're paying these guys. But for me, again, another tick in Clark's box, entirely the right thing to do. We've got no more games. So if this is you working towards your system, you're damn right, get these boys back out for another start. Make sure that they get used to playing with Naismith as a number nine, because the entire game changes with him playing at number nine.
I don't think it would take a lot of time to get used to playing with Naisy. Naisy's quite an easy player to play with.
But it changes the whole balance of the side. Aye. I think it was important that he sent him back out there and said, same again.
Aye, look, I think you've got to keep a bit of rhythm. We have a good win away to Cyprus, and he's thinking, right, do you know what? Let's keep this going. Same players, we go again.
The one downside to the whole bit now is you said same players, so let's look at that Scotland back four, because I know you didn't see the full game, but you've seen enough from the highlights. The one bit that we wanted Steve Clark to bring to Scotland was a strong defensive, organised unit. And there are not great signs that he's been able to implement his ideas. Is that down to personnel? Or is it just down to a lack of time to
No, look, what options has he got?
Well, a lack of options, though.
I'll do it. I've said it a couple of times. I think there's a boy at Hibs in time.
Porteous.
I've seen him a few times. I've heard a few people talk about him. I've watched him. I think in time he could be
an answer.
A future centre half for
we
Scotland.
We don't have time.
No, we don't have time. We don't have time. That's what he's got. It's personnel. He's no good centre halves coming out of his ears, has he?
Really? We've actually got a few now, whereas there was none before. We were really
well, Declan Gallagher's come out of nowhere.
The problem is they're all young, they're inexperienced.
Aye, but listen, how are they going to get experience?
By playing them. And that's what he's done. He's gone with those two. And you would have to look at it now and say they will be the two in possession unless somebody
well,
else.
Who was the two you thought would have went at Cyprus?
Who did I think he'd play? Aye. Well, I thought
they're
he'd play
at
McKenna.
Aberdeen?
No, I didn't think that he'd go with Mikey Devlin.
No. I thought that because the simple fact is they play out with each other every single week.
Oh, I tell a lie, maybe I did think he would go with Mikey Devlin. Did I think that was the right thing to do? Probably not. Aye. So I'm glad that he's had a look
when
at
when people ask me the
Declan
team.
Declan Gallagher, yes.
And I was surprised, but Declan Gallagher done well.
Now he's probably did better than McKenna over the two games.
He's come out of nowhere, and you've got to give him credit. That's his first two international games where I've told you plenty of times before, it takes you 5, 6, 7, 8 games to get into a rhythm. You've got to give him credit for that. And that's the manager's decision. He sees him in training and he's thought, right, do you know what? It's another bit of credit you've got to give the manager.
Right, except it's not working just yet.
Right.
But this
it's
is
time.
And that's again, put a partnership, pick a pairing and give them some game time.
But I'll go back to the lad Porteous. I think we've got a player in our hands if he keeps progressing.
So you'd expect him to be making a challenge there. See, I think there are about, I'd say there's probably about, if you put in Suter at Hearts.
Well, he's been out injured. I forgot about Suter because obviously he's been injured. He was coming on. He was a different, I was looking at him last year. I wasn't too sure in terms of the physique him. But when I seen him the start of the season for Hearts, he looked, if he was like maturing into a physical presence. Because the boy can play Suter.
So he's
good
an
ball
option.
Player.
I like Charlie McGrew. In fact, I would go as far as to say that Charlie McGrew might still be the best central defensive option he's got, but I think he'd get chucked under a bus in Moscow. I think it's very hard. I think Clark
he's probably
the one thing that he's done, I think he's boxed himself in with Charlie McGrew's concern there. Basically blamed him for the goals that were getting conceded against the Russians and the Belgians.
Don't know if he blamed them, but look, Charlie's been a stalwart for Scotland, hasn't he? He's always turned up when he's been asked. I think he's one of the players that you know what you're going to get with Charlie. You're always going to get 100%. But I think maybe he's looking now towards
moving on. I think he's made that decision.
Aye.
That seems what he's done. So I'm going to ask you, if this playoff match was tomorrow and you were in charge, what's your back four? And let's just say that you've got all choices available to you.
God.
You've got Andy Robertson fit again. You've got Kieran Tierney back. What do you do? How do you solve that problem? presumably Andy Robertson is the first one that gets marked down.
No, Kieran Tierney as well. You've got to play Kieran Tierney.
What position are you playing Kieran Tierney?
You would need to speak to Kieran Tierney about that, but I would maybe think he'd play him left centre half. No. I know Gordon Strachan played him right back.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair to him, he done really well.
Didn't seem to enjoy it because he kept having to cut back.
Palmer looked good last night. He looked if he was bombing up and down.
Looked easily his best performance in Scotland.
Yep, he looked. I've not seen a lot of Palmer, if I'm being honest, because the football you tend to watch is the Premier League.
But he looks to be, I mean, a really bad start in Kazakhstan at the start of this section, he seems to have grown into that a little bit. He gives us now a better option than we had.
For me, I've got to be honest with you, Andy Robertson and Kieran Tierney are two outstanding players, fully fit. You have got to find a way of getting them in your team.
So what would your way be? Left centre half? So that takes McKenna out of the team?
No, I don't know. I would need to think of that. I would need to... I mean, you're getting me 5 minutes. I would need to go away and sit and have a cup of coffee and...
Well, we're here to talk about it. I didn't want to give you 3 hours prep time. I'm putting you in the spot here.
No, I just think you've got to find... you've got to play the two of them.
I think I would go Kieran Tierney at right back. In fact, I'm convinced that I would.
Mm. It's an option because he's played there under Gordon Strachan. But you get what I'm saying? You've got to play there too.
Mm. Oh, 100%.
Simple fact is, not just because they're top players, what they bring to the team in terms of experience.
Am I not right in thinking if we put Kieran Tierney at left centre back, you'd probably need to change the whole structure and go to a three at the back?
That, again, that's something he needs to work.
Can't really do that at this late stage, can
they? No, it looks to me he does prefer a back four. As an option, Kieran, I think if you ask Kieran Tierney to play up front, he'd play up front. I think he's one of the boys. I just think you've got to find a space in the team for both.
It's a difficult dilemma though, isn't it?
Oh, it's a horrible dilemma.
Right, I'm going to go with Andy Robertson at left back, Kieran Tierney at right back. Do you know what? And that's a shame for Greg Taylor, who did terrifically well last night. But I think Greg Taylor would realise if he was in a room with Kieran Tierney and Andy Robertson, he's the third choice left back.
He's had a tough time, isn't he, the young boy. I actually liked him, and it was every time I seen Kilmarnock last season.
He actually always reminded me of like a young Kieran Tierney.
He impressed me, and it's been a hard one for him going there where he's been used to playing every week, but he'll need to just bide his time. It's different. He's at a big club. And obviously, ball and goal, he's done better than
people
he first showed. And Johnny Hayes has come in and done well. So it's been hard for him. But what I seen last night in the highlights, he really impressed me. But I'm not surprised because, as I say, he impressed me at Kilmarnock. I thought he was good.
Okay, so I'm going to go Andy Robertson on my left back. I'm going to go Kieran Tierney at right back. And do you know what? I'm probably going to back Clark's judgment on this and say that McKenna and Gallagher, because for the simple reason, he's decided to go with a pair. He's paired them up for these last two games. Continuity. It probably makes sense to go with that. That'd be my back four, I think, now. Agreed? No.
It could be, but he might surprise a... Springer surprise.
Well, they might have to, because we don't know what the injury situation is going to be like, but it's
you would expect, look, big games March, man, come on, that's what you want to be involved in. If both of them are fit, Jack, I don't care, you need to find a space in the team for both of them.
I think we just upgrade. I think it's an upgrade at both fullback positions, and I don't mean that as a slight on either of the boys that played last night, because as I said to you, I thought Palmer really is coming on to a game. Greg Taylor did really, really well. But if you're putting these two in, and I think as a defensive unit, and I think that's the most important part, because I think we had some decent individual displays across the back four, but as a defensive unit, I like to think that two guys playing at the level of Robertson and Kieran Tierney would help the unit as a four.
Yeah, I totally get where you're coming from. Totally get it. And I forgot about somebody as well when he came on. He thought he'd done well. Flecky.
Yeah, yeah, he did. Looks really composed.
I'm. Do you know what? I'm delighted for that young boy.
He's not a young boy anymore. No, is he?
Well, he's a lot younger than me.
Other than me, you know.
Aye. What I'm saying, when he broke through and it kind of fizzled out a wee bit for him, but do you know what? That's where another thing. I love seeing that. He went down to Coventry, done well at Coventry. He's been on to Sheffield United, done one of the top men in the Championship. Bang. And into the Premier League. And do you know what?
He deserves him in the Premier League and saying this guy belongs in the Premier League.
He deserves to be there. And I'm delighted for him. Because he's what I know for a fact that he's worked hard. And delighted now that he's getting the recognition at Scotland. And his wee ball through for
the third goal.
For Taylor, way to pass.
Really composed.
I'm delighted to see him.
In fact, I was looking up at that point. He's on the ball. You knew that he was going to make the pass.
Aye.
There was never a doubt in your head that he might misplay it or over.
And I'm not saying it because I knew him as a young boy coming through, and I seen the potential he had in him.
Do you feel sorry for him? All that stuff that get thrown at him at the time about
that's what happens.
Scotland's Wayne Rooney, and
that's what happens in Scotland. You get put on a pedestal, don't you? To get knocked and.
Did that really hamper him, do you think?
No, I wouldn't say it hampered him. It just, I don't know the ins and outs of why he left Rangers, but he went down to Coventry in League One, where it's a horrible place to play in terms of some of the games you need to play. It's physical, it's Route One. He went down and he was their top man. Because I always kept in contact with him and I always watched out for him. Went to Sheffield United. A sleeping giant, that is.
Mm-hmm.
Big club. Last year, kept an eye on him because when you see Sheffield United up near the top of the league, you're thinking, oh, come on, me man, you've got a right good chance here. And he was a top man.
He's gone the unfashionable road, hasn't he?
Aye.
But you would imagine, no matter.
That's credit, again. It's a lot of people don't give these guys credit when they get knocked a bit.
Roll the sleeves up.
Aye, he's one of the ones, oh, bang, roll the sleeves up. I'm going to show these people. I love it. I love it. Love to see it. Love to see him playing the Premier League. And now he's getting the recognition of being in the...
I don't think Sheffield United will be his last Premier League club.
No, I think he'll get a move.
Yeah.
As do I think McGinn will.
Mm-hmm. Oh, aye. No, definitely.
I think the two of them, it's great to see.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to see.
It is encouraging, isn't it? Because we've gone through these years of... You know, do you know what? We'd actually be crying out for if we had one Premier League midfield player. We're delighted.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the team mostly made up of guys out of the English Championship and the Scottish Premier League. And right now we've got this core of a group where we've got a lot of players playing at a really high level. This
well, you look at the five.
An encouraging thing.
Look at the five in the middle of the park. We'll go with the two sitting last night. Ryan Jack, Callum McGregor. Playing at Rangers and Celtic.
Mm-hmm.
Massive clubs. Big pressures. Then you go the other three.
Brendan Rodgers wants to take Callum McGregor to the Premier League. So
you've got the other three. McGinn, top man again last night for Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Running the show for Aston Villa. Flecky, come on, done really well. One of the main men at Sheffield United. And McTominay is standing up and being counted at Man United.
James
then
Forrest.
Add that, James Forrest.
Christie.
Ryan Fraser.
Come back in it. There's no reason why we can't.
I think we're really, really powerful in that area.
As good as it's been in a long time.
Oh, aye. Yep.
Anyway, Baz, before we move on to talk about what's moving forward.
I'm about to go to my bed. I don't feel well. Come on.
I know that you're not very well. But do you know what? I put that down to deficiency, lack of meat, protein.
No.
Why, have you spectacularly crashed off your plant-based diet?
I've not crashed off it. Listen, you seen me, I spoke to one of the members in here and they tried it and it lasted 3 days. I lasted 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Because we'd done the 60, so it was about a week after the last podcast then.
Yep.
Cracked again.
Yep.
What made you crack this time?
Just fancied a bit of chicken.
But you're still sort of a maintaining.
No, I've changed my diet, but I feel better for it.
Aye.
Yeah.
So meat once a week now?
Once, stroke.
Start creeping back up.
One stroke twice.
Did you manage to get through the Sunday? No.
No.
No, see, I think you're telling porkies here.
No. Did I? I'm going to think back. Look, just move on.
You don't like failing.
I gave it a try.
And now you hardly get the energy to sit through a 40-minute podcast.
Listen, I was out in the cold last night, freezing cold, raining. A couple of the family are feeling under the weather, they've passed it on. So
you've kind of passed your vegan illness on to members of your family now.
Come on. Fine.
Back to domestic issues. And now, I think a lot of people and a lot of fans, and you look at the crowd last night, there is a real sort of apathy to Scotland. I am entirely sure that once we get round to March and these playoff matches, that place will be packed. I think Stevie Clark's right. There'll be 40,000 inside Hampden. Aye. The place will be 100%. Jumping, right? But right now, the real focus is just the kind of international thing is just a distraction from what's the real meat and two veg, if you don't mind my saying, pardon the pun, of the domestic campaign. Right. And it's a cracker. So it all kicks off again this weekend, Barry. Are you seeing any shocks, any changes to the top of the table?
I think Rangers will continue their momentum.
Rangers at Hamilton on the Sunday.
Yep. No concerned
about... It's not a particularly enjoyable trip, that.
But I'm not concerned about the pitch. Or the state of the pitch is decent at Hamilton now.
I know
it's astroturf and a lot of people might complain about it, but I have... You know, sometimes you've got to be down in the back of your mind. I have no doubts that Rangers are in a real good place at this moment in time. And they'll go, and Hamilton will make it difficult, there's no doubt in my mind, but Rangers 3 points.
Mm-hmm. Celtic at home to Livingston.
Same.
It's difficult to see. I mean, I just think this continues, doesn't it?
I think this continues right down to, I know we've got a cup final coming up, but it'll come down to the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
Where the first time, I believe, in the run-up, both Rangers and Celtic, I think both will have maximum points. I might be wrong about that. Yeah, it's my opinion.
You think they'll both get through December? Because we were looking, there's a piece in the paper, a good piece of the paper today.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You know, mapping out, it's a busy month with some big games. You know, I think Rangers got to go to Aberdeen.
Yep.
Celtic have got to go to Tynecastle. Uh-huh. Some big fixtures.
Celtic have got to go, I think, Ross County and Tynecastle. Rangers have got, obviously, Aberdeen.
I look at in the paper in my today's daily
record. But I'll be honest with you, I just don't see.
Yeah, Hearts v Celtic in December 18. You get Celtic v Hibs the week before that. Celtic v Hamilton the week before that. And of course, Celtic v Livingston this weekend. The Rangers away fixtures are difficult. Aberdeen away, Motherwell away, and Celtic away.
Mm. Hey, there's no doubt.
And Hibs away.
Hey, four. Take the old firm game out of the equation now.
Yeah.
Motherwell away, very hard as always. Aberdeen away, you know what it's like, Rangers Aberdeen thing, and obviously going to Hibs. But I cannot see Rangers drop many points.
It would be really, really mouthwatering if both of these teams managed to get through that month without dropping anything.
If you're asking,
I think you're right, by the way.
If you're asking my opinion, I think both will have maximum points getting into the 29th.
Or near as damn it. There might be a surprise slip along the way, but I think you're right.
I don't think
there's going to be anything in it by the time that next match comes around and the final.
I just can't see. Look, I think there'll be a few close shaves, but I just think they're a level above everybody else. If they're on it, away from home,
do you think
they win?
Here's an interesting point from a manager's perspective.
See, if they're on it, I mean, if they've got it right, see if they go out, let's see Livingston.
The mentality.
I just sense that, I mean, you sit there, you think, Livingston pitch, Holtie's got them. They're a tough nut to crack. But see, after 5-10 minutes, I know they never scored to 40-odd minutes. I knew Rangers were winning the
because
game
because of the tempo and the
way
they
started. I could just see it in them.
I'm going to ask you this from a managerial perspective. Steven Gerrard, he's had a few international breaks now to deal with. Does that put him in a better place in terms of, I can only imagine when you're new into management, you think you've got something going, international break, sucks the momentum out of you, and you struggle to get it back. Is it a case of, he's had so many now, he's been in the job long enough that he should know how to get them back in and how to get them back straight to the tempo
but
that they were?
Himself, he was away in international enough times to know. I don't think that's an issue. The boys have been away and obviously Finland have qualified. He'll be in a high. Ryan Jack's back in playing with Scotland. He'll be in a high. And then I seen they had a bounce game, which quite a few of them played in.
Against Leicester.
Yep. Which he's keeping them ticking over. So, they're a different animal this year.
You think even the fact that he's organised that bounce game might show that he has learned little lessons
and he's
got
people getting
better ideas.
Rusty 2 weeks before a game, right, come on, let's get 60 minutes. Or
get some minutes in your legs.
Aye, because you could train. You ask any professional player, you can train and you can do real tough sessions, but there's no better thing than getting minutes in a game.
Right, okay, so that's that in terms of the battle at the top of the league. In terms of the battle in Edinburgh, we keep talking about it. Hearts are still looking for manager. Hibs have chosen their man, and Jack Ross has got a big baptism into this job with a visit from Motherwell the weekend. And that's a tricky one. Motherwell are a really impressive side.
They're one of the ones where they've had a few times I thought at weekends I fancy Motherwell here and they've let themselves down, but it's a tricky one. Motherwell are a decent team. He's got decent players. He's no wonder he's been mentioned for both Hibs and Hearts. Obviously he's not going to get Hibs now because Jack Ross has got it, but he's high in the list of Hearts and obviously a Northern Ireland job. I'm not surprised because I'd imagine his budget's no great there. And he goes and brings in players that not a lot of people hear of.
Well, he's recruitment's been great for the lower leagues.
Again, it's the most important part of a football club for me is recruitment. So, no, it's a tough one for Jack Ross. But
I tell you
for
what,
me,
do you want to start if you're Jack Ross, right? And there are question marks over Jack Ross. And he has got a good reputation because of what he did at Alloa and St Mirren. But let's put everything in perspective here. This is Alloa and St Mirren. He's gone to Sunderland. He's not done spectacularly well. In fact, it was a failure. But there is this sort of Pied Piper, Emperor's New Clothes feeling to Jack Ross that, oh, this guy is fantastic. Well, do you know what? On the basis of that, I think he's got this job and everybody thinks it's a great idea. But there will be an element of doubt in Jack Ross's own mind here. And going into this job and it's starting with Motherwell, see if you don't go off to a right, good, positive start, this could become a really difficult test for Jack Ross and for Hibs.
I've spoke to Jack Ross a couple of times and he's an intelligent guy.
No doubt about that.
Right. He'll know the prep for me. And he'll know he'll be the exact same. I look at Hearts and Hibs, they should be third, fourth place.
Next
fighting Aberdeen. They've got a great stadium.
Anything less is unacceptable.
I think there's pressure. But that's what you want as a football manager. Alloa, part-time, done really well, went on to St Mirren. Had a difficult start at St Mirren. I quite like the fact that I went up at the stand and had a wee
Barnley with the fans.
But I seen St Mirren, no, last year, the year before, quite a lot in the Championship. And I was really impressed with him.
Yeah.
Listen,
Brendan Rodgers actually singled him out and said that was one of the most difficult matches we've had all season.
I was impressed with him. And when I've spoke to him a few times, I just like him. And look, I think it's a great opportunity for him because it's a big club.
It's a massive opportunity. But what I'm trying to say is there is an element to this where if it doesn't go right, and Hibs are in a bit of a mess just now. If he can't sort it soon, then his reputation might suffer.
Aye, but that's what you're there for. That's why you're in the job. Hibs are a big club. The fans are demanding. And so is our neighbours across the road. But that's the way, I mean, for me,
that's what you want. You don't want an easy ride.
Where they are now is false. But It'll be interesting to see if they back him in January.
Mm-hmm. Well, you
because I think he's got good players.
Well, I was going to say, you'd also like to look at it and think, you know, there is a decent squad of players there. A good manager should be able to get a lot more out of them than...
I think they'll get an initial reaction. I mean, you look when the manager left and they go up and batter St Johnstone 4-1 and Doyle scores a hat-trick. It's crazy, man. It happens all the time. But I think he is a good... I think he's a very good appointment.
Do you think they've put pressure on Hearts, the fact that they've managed to go out and secure that a popular appointment, one that the fans are fairly positive about? Meanwhile, Hearts continue.
I don't think MD will force Anne Budge into doing. I think she needs to get this one bang on. Like Liam Dempster knows that she had to get that bang on. You don't get anything bang on, but to make a good appointment.
Nothing's risk free.
Yep.
You try and minimise the risk.
Yep. So, Hearts, it's a strange one. I mean, Austin's been there through the last 3 years, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
What's the first manager?
Ian Cathro.
Ian Cathro. He stayed on under Craig Levein.
It's not a great CV here.
I think Hearts need to go down a different route and bring in a manager who's going to bring in his own people.
Tell me this, because, you know, we talked about it, you know, old school. Is there a feeling, because I wonder if there is, and I wonder if even guys like myself might be guilty of it. You look at Ian Cathro and you think, you don't look quite right. You don't look as if you should be in a dugout, whether it's the hair, whether it's whatever it is about the guy. And there's this kind of academic side to his coaching. Mm. He hasn't gone the hard yards through the way that you would have done coming through as a kid and all that. Do you think there is a kind of insular view that Scottish football has about the likes of Ian Cathro's, Austin McPhee's? Do you think that he hasn't been universally welcomed into that position at Tynecastle?
I thought a lot of the criticism was unfair at times on him in terms of
McPhee.
No, Cathro. Because he wasn't a footballer. Do you know what I mean? He never came through.
But I kind of looked at it and wondered, did he really understand how to connect inside a dressing room?
I think football's simple.
If you've not grown up in a dressing room, is it not a pretty difficult environment to walk in and think, tells me that if you do X, Y and Z, we'll get better results?
See, if I can't come in and command a dressing room, you're in trouble as a manager.
Well, is that not...
I'll let the dressing room control itself. The experienced guys in the dressing room run the dressing room. But when the manager comes in, I can have a laugh and a joke, but there's a line.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's serious business.
Is that not one of the fundamental key factors in being a good manager? That you need to be able to control the environment inside the dressing room?
I've changed as well. I want my players to feel comfortable and about me, but when it comes to the nitty gritty...
So what I'm saying to you is, am I right in thinking it might be more difficult for a Cathro, for an Austin McPhee, to walk into that environment and be able to deal with it? Because unless you've actually come up through the years, unless you feel
There is managers that have not come through dressing rooms that have been successful.
Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, he just took the words off the tip of my tongue.
But in Scotland, are we a little bit...
I just think football's simple made complicated at times. I really do.
I agree.
I do. That's my opinion. Whether people agree with it or not, well, that's up to them. But I think football's a simple game. And when I go and coach and when I go and manage, I try and make it really simple for the guys.
It can be overcomplicated.
It can get overcomplicated.
And you've done the coaching courses and you've seen the guys with iPads.
The coaching's changed quite a lot since I started my B licence. But that's just the way the world's gone. It's the way the world's going. I just thought the best coaches were the ones that kept it really simple on a training field. You get one or two things to do within a shape of a team, the formation, and that was enough. They never overcomplicated. Walter was brilliant at it. Dick was brilliant at it. Big Alec was really good at it. I just felt that was the best management and coaching I got, where you get a couple of pointers, no overcomplicated it.
Don't give them too much information.
When we looked on the team, it was simple information on the screen. It wasn't like
this is the interesting bit from Hearts, right? Is that there's no clear identikit to the manager that they're wanting. They're in discussions with all sorts of different guys. Stuart McCall, you would say, is probably more old school.
Aye.
You've got Austin McPhee, he's a contender. You've got Daniel Stendel, you've got Felix McGarth, who's been ruled out, Alan Irvin, Steve Cotterill, Neil McCann's also in there. That's an interesting shout, Neil McCann.
I say the same as I will do as Hearts. I think they've got to get somebody who knows Scottish football inside it and knows the expectations of Hearts. I think they've done, that's why Hibs have went with Jack Ross. He knows Scottish football.
He knows what's required to keep the...
He knows the teams inside out. I know he's been
doing it. Doesn't need 6 months to settle into the job. He should be able to hit the ground running.
I know he's been doing it at Sunderland for 18 months, but he'll know every player inside out. He'll know the way that all the teams play. And I think that's what Hearts need to do. But listen, and Budge, is he on an inch of
shit? What about Neil McCann? Neil McCann, Stuart McCall. I mean, I think Neil McCann's a really interesting name. And I know that he's not tried and tested, and that he'd, you know, short spell at Dundee, it wasn't perhaps the most successful, although he'd probably argue that there was successes in there.
But why?
I'm told a lot of good things about Neil McCann's coaching, you know, and he's.
I played with Terry, and he's a demanding character, by the way.
Yeah,
and I don't mind that.
No, that's one of the main things that I think.
That's what you would want. You would want a manager that puts demands on you.
Exactly. I think that's
what I heard about Neil, that he was over demanding. Come on, get a grip. That's what you want off a manager, standards. And that's what Neil McCann was all about when he was a player at Rangers. He was like anti dressing room about standards, about demands, and I love that about Neil McCann. And I would imagine when he took a Dundee job, I could imagine Neil McCann the manager. But I love that. That's what I would want. A manager on a training field, a manager in the team talk. So, listen, I get why he's touted for it. Because, obviously, he was a successful player at Hearts.
But you don't think that in the meantime that the Hearts are taking a massive gamble by thinking there's no great necessity to get this done quick, like Hibs have done? Because I think there is an element of risk.
I don't think Ann Budge will get put under pressure like that. I think the Hearts fans are desperate for a manager to get appointed. And the players will be kind of wondering what's going on here. They'll be talking in the dressing room. It's like that up in dressing rooms when managers went away, and
uncertainty, isn't it?
Who do you think we're going to get? And then uncertainty also is, what if a new manager comes in and he doesn't like me? I might need to move, and all these sort of things. So that'll be in the players' minds.
Right, brilliant. And we'll look forward to this weekend, Barry. We'll be back in here next week to discuss once the SPFL's back up and running. And in the meantime, let's go and get a nice fillet steak.
Lem's up for me.